The following is a Relevant Radio program and is protected under U.S. copyright laws. This program is made possible through the contributions of listeners like you. Support Relevant Radio by clicking on the donate icon at relevantradio.com.
And now, the brightest show on air, live from Chicago, it's the Dan Cheeley Show. Hailing from a blue-collar Italian neighborhood and working his way to Princeton and Harvard Law, Dan is a church historian and family man with a passion for truth, love, and a good glass of vino. Here he is, your host, Dan Cheeley!
Hello, everybody. Well, I'm really going to pump up your weekend this time. Years ago, in the 1930s, the world was startled and the presses rolled when the young king of England gave up his crown and his throne to marry the woman he loved. H.J. Mencken called it the greatest story since the resurrection. He was kind of exaggerating, but he captured the imagination of the world. Why did he do it? Well, I have in my studio today somebody who also gave up a big ticket, big paying job, changed her whole income expectancy to devote full time to the apostolate of the Catholic Church. The talented, beautiful, and dynamic Kendra Von Esch was sitting on the top of the world. I mean, she was the chief information officer and board member of a major California software company, a go-getter, a competitor, someone who liked to win and did win. And she had a life change about 5 years ago that blew the minds of the people who knew her. And oh, it's going to blow your mind, too. Let's hear about it. Kendra, welcome.
Thanks, Dan. Quite the introduction.
Well, why not?
I don't know if I could live up to that, but I'll give it a shot.
All right. Well, hey, news media and magazines say that the high-tech world is where the cutting edge of technology, it's just about the most non-religious, most secular-oriented, liberal, and what I always call new breed type in America today, even worse than Hollywood, even surpassing Hollywood. That's hard to do. Let's turn back the clock 10 years ago. My impression is that you fit that model yourself. You were the new breed, right? What were you like? What were your thought patterns when you were in the thick of that rat race, say, 10 years ago?
Oh, well, I was part of the me generation. Everything mm-hmm. me. There should be, instead of Generation X, millennials, we should have a Generation Me. And that could probably span over three or four generations, quite frankly. So, yeah, I was the three M's. Money, me, and materials. Mm-hmm. So everything I did was driven on what I did from a professional perspective, not just how much money I made, but the prestige and climbing the corporate ladder. And never, ever considered God in my world. It was just living the worldly life, and all the creature comforts that this world has to offer was what I was
right, what's a barracuda got to think about God for, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, no, and it's easy to turn into a barracuda. I mean, that's the problem. I mean, it's cutthroat, and I'm sure you experienced that too, right? You got to watch your back and look out.
Yeah, it's not just the technology world, the industry. Oh, I think it's, you know,
yeah, law, you name it. I mean, it's all right. Over the place. Yeah.
It is. It's a cutthroat, backstabbing type of world. So you got to watch your back and have some thick skin.
And some claws yourself. I mean, you got to watch out. I mean, what was your general attitude toward Catholicism at that time? Was it just, you know, fairly useless, old-fashioned nonsense or what?
if I even knew what all of that was. So coming through and being confirmed, going through CCD as a youngster, but never practicing in my family. And then when I was out on my own, not really going to church, I wasn't even that creaster that was going once or twice a year.
Not even that.
Uh-oh. So I was completely on the other end. So for me, if I was ever to consider maybe going back to church, I pretty much was thinking not the Catholic Church. And I equated Catholicism with rules.
Uh-huh.
And all these rules that you must live by that I don't necessarily agree with or, quite frankly, even know. Like, what are the rules? And why are these rules there for me? Because all I see is, what a horrible life that would be. You can't do anything.
Yeah, cramping your style.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Well, you know, you changed, okay. And your story reminds me a little bit a day I spent with, privileged to spend with Mother Angelica a number of years ago while she was still alive. I asked her how she became a nun, and she told me, well, I had nuns in grammar school and I hated them. Okay. But she started getting sick. She had some medical problems, and she said, well, I started praying, and you know, after praying a lot, something happened. Okay. Well, it sounds like that kind of thing happened to you. You had a big, scary medical emergency, and you started praying too, and this led to the development of your spiritual life. Tell us about it.
So it wasn't my medical emergency, thank goodness, but it was my father, who was going into the doctor's office just to check on his health to get a knee replacement surgery so he could golf. And they took all these tests and they said, I'm sorry, but you are not going anywhere. You're going to be spending the night and going under for a quadruple bypass surgery tomorrow. So a huge shock to the family, no symptoms. And all of a sudden, my father's chest is going to be cracked open and... What?
How old was he?
72,
I think.
Yeah, 72.
He could have kicked the bucket easily at that point.
Right. I mean, right. He's older. How do you, all the things that could come with the complication, let alone the blockage that he had. But I'm glad they found it. So that 18 hours between the time that we found out and the time that he went under for surgery, I prayed more then than in my entire life. And you would have thought maybe after the surgery, that I would have been, thank you, God, I'm going to church, I found the light. No. I was all about, oh my gosh, honey, that could have been us. We need to lose weight. We've got about 15, 20 pounds that we're packing on each other here. Let's go cleanse. So what had happened there was I bought this book, I opened it up, and there was a pie chart with little segments of your life. And one of those was spirituality. Mm-hmm. And that was where my eyes were kind of open, my jaw dropped a little bit, and I was like, I got nothing going on in this little piece of pie. So I'll go to church. How about that? I'm going to cleanse my body. I'll cleanse my soul. But I wasn't going to go to the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. I was going to go to a non-denominational, what they call maybe big box church that wouldn't ask so much of me, didn't have necessarily all those rules, because I really felt like I'd be a hypocrite walking into the Catholic Church because, again, I don't really know much about the religion and the faith, even though I was confirmed on the other end. So that's kind of how it all started.
Okay, well, what did you go to the big box church or what?
So the night before, our cleanse was starting on Easter Sunday. Oh, by the way, I didn't know that was like the biggest feast day in the Catholic Church. Like I should not be cleansing. I should be eating everything on the face of the earth and celebrating. But our cleanse started on Easter Sunday, and Easter Saturday, I host the party in my family because we have a lot of split families.
Holy Saturday?
Yeah, Holy Saturday, right. And my mother's boyfriend said, why aren't you going to the Catholic Church? And I really didn't have a good answer other than the fact that I didn't know and I felt kind of like a hypocrite going. So that night at 11:30, thank goodness for Google, I picked up my smartphone, Googled the closest Catholic church, and boom, the next morning at 7 a.m., I was sitting in a pew. Yeah.
Well, what was it like? I mean, you hadn't been there, what, for about 26 years or something like that?
Well, that was
or
confession.
Or maybe some marriages and funerals, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, it had been... Quite a few. It had been a couple decades.
Okay, at least 20 years.
Yeah. Not regularly.
So there you go. So what? You know, what was it? I mean, obviously, I don't think there was any kind of, vision of angels from the sky falling down. I mean, it's typical, Catholic Mass.
Oh, right. But here I am thinking, what am I doing here? And by the way, nobody told me that they changed "Peace be with you" to "and with your spirit." And so I'm in the back pew saying, "and also with you." That's how long it's been since I went. So other than laughing at myself the whole time, fumbling through the Mass because I never followed through on the Missal, the Missalette or the Missal, and didn't really know the pattern of Mass and why we were there. I didn't know that was the presence of God. So I think the Holy Spirit took a hold of me because I felt different when I walked out of that church.
No kidding.
I did. I felt like a weight was lifted a little bit. And then I kept thinking, well, why this Catholic church? So that being said, I got this the Holy Spirit put this thirst inside me to research.
Uh-huh.
And that's when I wanted to research, like, what are they saying after the priest says, peace be with you? So I started Googling it, and then I realized, oh, and then the Eucharist, and oh my gosh, I condemned myself by getting communion after not being to confession for 26 years. Like, I learned all this stuff. And then the more I learned, the more I wanted to know more. And it just
kept going. Relevant Radio was involved a little bit in some of this. How did you run into that?
So I used to, back in the day before the smartphones and the podcasts and the streaming stuff that you can get wherever you drive, you got stuck with AM and FM radio. I would take state-to-state trips for business, and I would get sick of the music, trying to fumble around, so I would go on AM and every now and then find some sort of sermon. I'm sure it wasn't a Catholic, you know, sermon per se, but I enjoyed them, and they made me feel good, I guess, you know, made me kind of think. And that's when I stumbled across Relevant Radio and then heard that it was a Catholic radio station. And then I was addicted because every time I tuned in, actually the first time I tuned in, I was going through a situation and a problem. Yeah. And they were talking about that subject and and I had answers. And it was almost like supernatural. I looked up in the sky thinking, God, is this you speaking to me through the radio?
You know, you're listening to me.
Exactly. Like, you really are everywhere. But that's consistent with every time I tune in. And I couldn't be more honored to be here because I know that people are so on fire out there. Or there's people like me 5 years ago that don't know what this Catholic thing is all about and what a real relationship with God and the beauty of the sacraments of our faith.
Hold that thought. We've got to take a break. We'll be right back.
The more that you meet Christ among the poor, the more poignantly you'll be able to see Christ in the sacraments. When we focus on that primordial theme of the life and dignity of every human person, that can begin to fuel a revolution of love.
Relevant Radio.
Everybody, this is Dan Sheely, and the song for the Fantastics, I Can See, replies to who I've got here, Kendra Von Esch. She's describing how she flipped her life out of a very fast lane into a whole new vision molded by Catholic Christianity, which she thought would never happen. Now, Kendra, this is going to be hard for a lot of people to understand. Here you are, big, successful. You're in a power couple marriage. You're on top of the world. But you know, and you're telling me, and you're telling the people, you found something, and you started getting insights into things from this Catholic stuff, even though you thought it was goofy at first, but you started getting these insights. What exactly was it that you found? I mean, why was it worth giving your life to? What is it?
If I could explain it in English words, I would be a gazillionaire because everyone would go get it. It's almost a supernatural feeling. So as I kept going to church and going to mass and understanding that this sacrament of the Eucharist is the body and blood of our Lord and that I was receiving him and the importance and then what the mass was all about, Relevant Radio helping me throughout the way, giving me resources and, you know, amazing programming, me getting more, God was starting to open my heart, soften it a little bit, and I was receiving this joy and this peace because I realized that he is with me every step of the way. And the more time I spend with him and the more I rely on him and the more I trust him and the less I worry and anxiety I have about my life, the more happiness I have, call it joy, peace, etc., that I've never experienced before in my so-called happy life. I never thought anything was missing. I didn't know what was missing. So when it comes slowly but surely and people are seeing it, I mean, some people are like, what is up with you? Are you like on a new diet? Or do you have a new diet drug? Someone asked me if I was pregnant because I had this glow and this energy and vibrance about myself. It's physically and visibly noticeable. So that's really what it was. The calmness because, you know, corporate America and executive life is stressful. And I was not sleeping and grinding my teeth and I couldn't move my neck. And when I really sat back, I didn't have to do any of that. All I had to do was look to God and say, you have a plan here. You're going to help me get through this. And I might have actually slept more than 2 hours a night for 5 or 6 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things you mentioned is this great hunger that you had to learn more and more. And this is another thing that seems to be kind of a mystery, maybe to me and maybe to people that are listening. All these things that the church teaches, are the opposite of everything you had just assumed was not right. You know, you just say, oh, no, that's all wet. You know, this kind of thing, saying no to yourself or whatever it is, this doesn't make any sense. Everything that you assumed was true about the world, about life, and about even about the Catholic Church itself. Why would that be interesting to you? Why would learning about this stuff, this Catholic stuff, what was it that you found so compelling, it kept you going to keep eating up more when it's against what you originally thought, what you thought everybody was against?
Right. I have to, again, thanks be to God to give me the grace of faith and to really look at myself. And if I was honest with myself, with some of those hard moral teachings of the church that a lot of this culture don't agree with.
Sure.
It opened my mind to thinking about it, and it really opened my mind to saying, to realizing that these quote unquote rules are a map to happiness.
Right.
Jesus is telling us exactly how to get there. Okay, yeah, it's not easy. You have to have a little self-mastery, self-control, understand that you're insulting God by doing and choosing to do these things, which, by the way, I've insulted him for 42 years of my life. And now is about time for me to step up and act like a true Christian. So the more I learned and the reasoning as to why, and then being able to explain to somebody, well, how can you, the pre-scandals and same-sex relationships and birth control and all these things, I was not in agreement with the church's teachings. So it was really, it was a process. It wasn't like one day I woke up and I was like, okay, got it. Love it.
Right. It's because it's got to be real. I mean, in Catholicism, it involves your whole life. And what the opposite way, what always strikes me is, if everybody were so darn happy now doing it the new breed way, I mean, if there was no crime on the streets, and everybody was stable, and things were hunky-dory. There was politeness on the road, people were building more hospitals and taking care of people, looking out for each other. I'd say, well, maybe this new stuff is right. But when the opposite has happened, yeah. I mean, when you can't even go two blocks outside your house without getting knifed, okay, a lot of times, when you can't trust anybody today, you start to think, well, maybe something isn't working. When marriages are breaking down way more than they're staying, when kids are going nutty, okay, because they don't have any stability in their lives, you got to ask yourselves a question. What's wrong with this picture? Okay. And so maybe, just maybe, what our grandmothers told us was right.
Exactly.
Now, okay, fans of mine on the show have heard me say a lot of times, okay, in our 21st century, there's only one dirty word. Doesn't have four letters. It has two letters. And those two letters are N-O, no. Okay. Nobody ever wants to hear no. Okay. And no is right a lot of times. Okay. And another way to put it, there's a cross that's involved in the practice of Catholic Christianity. Now, everybody experiences some of the cross when they try to follow Catholic Christianity. You mentioned some of them. You've experienced some of the cross already, I'm sure, in your life. Everybody experiences it. Let me ask you the real payoff, the pay dirt question. Why is it worth it? You could have a lot easier time, maybe, okay, going back to where the way you were before, but be a lot richer, have a lot bigger bank account, okay? You could find another religion that'll say, I'm okay, you're okay, say the magic word and you're done. You don't even have to work at it. Jesus did it all for you. Okay. In Catholicism, you got to join them. You got to carry that cross too. You found, apparently for the last 5 years, you found that it's worth it. Let me ask you, just down and dirty, why is it worth it? From your experience?
Yeah, from my experience, it's worth it because, first of all, I am not in this alone. The Catholic Church is a body of people and a prayer community that I've never experienced through Relevant Radio, through my parishes, through Cenacle prayer groups. And I feel a oneness of being a part of the faith. But let's take that aside and go to the no's that you were talking about. I didn't want to change my life. Again, I kind of just did this church thing because it was a piece of a pie chart that I was at missing.
Another thing to get.
Right.
Another thing to put under your belt.
Right. Oh, maybe that's another goal I can take off.
Like taking off 10 pounds. This is another one.
By the way, we didn't lose much on that diet. We should have just, you know, gone to church and had some, you know,
sacrifice.
Right, exactly, yeah. Right. So, and that was where I started actually enjoying sacrifice and realizing that sufferings can be given up to God. I never really knew what that whole give it up to God thing was until I started living it and understanding it and listening to everyone, you know, sharing their sufferings and sharing their pain and everybody praying for them. So that was kind of the epiphany for me. And now when I walk away from whatever temptation I have in front of me or the wrong decision or whatever the case may be, I feel a sense of relief, just like, because if I did that, then there would be, we all know what is fundamentally right and wrong, whether we want to believe it or not, or we want to, you know, change our behavior or not.
Right.
Exactly. The natural law. So if you're really honest with yourself and put the culture away and what your needs are and the fact that you don't want to change and it's easier to live this way, you think.
Yeah. They tell you.
Right.
But it's not really easier.
It's not. That's why my whole thing is I need to help people. I want to inspire others to enrich their lives through faith and prayer. It makes your life so much better. Compassion. That's one thing that I thought I had until over these last few years when I realized loving your neighbor, and that means the people you don't know, the people you don't necessarily like, you know, that peer that you work with, so on and so forth. Yeah, I was pretty compassionate with the people I liked and worked with, but I didn't have maybe that compassion for everybody else. And now, I mean, it came after a while, but now I just shower people with love. I know we're all carrying our crosses, whether you're Catholic or not. Everyone has problems that are going on. So you just have to have that loving, caring view. I'm looking through the lens of compassion now and through God.
Well, we got about a minute left, so tell us a little bit about your book. You got a book coming out. I Can't Believe I'm Catholic or something like that. What's the name of the book?
It's Am I Catholic? And it's a struggle with faith, humility, and surrendering to God. And that is, quite frankly, my struggle. I struggled with the faith. I wasn't humble and humility to surrender to Him and say, I am yours. I am a child of yours, and you do with me what you will. So it's available on Amazon. It's available on my website, KendraVonEsch.com. And it's in paperback and hard copy. I'm finishing up the audiobook, which will be coming out soon. So I hope to bring all those fallen Catholics back.
Well, it's all about love. You know, to understand our religion is to believe in love and to want to go with it, to make that real love part of your life. We're playing again this thing from the Fantastics. At the end of the Fantastics, they say they realize that what they were looking for, they were you. They were you. They were you. And I think that's what you found. That at the behind everything in this universe is God. God's real. God's incarnate. God lives on in the church, through the sacraments, and He's there waiting for us to embrace Him. And we can have a love affair with God, and our lives are full of love. And who doesn't love romance? I sure do. Folks, that's it for now. Hold on. We'll be back for some more fun and adventure. We're going to have a hero who lights up a war. We're going to talk about Queen Christina of Sweden. A remarkable woman. Kind of amazing. Gave up a lot too. Hear about it when we get back.